You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, September 17th, 2022. I am your host, Andy Bond, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello! How you doing, Andy?
Wow, you are very loud this week.
Do you want me to be slightly further away from that? I'll just be in another room and shouting into this mic. I've worked out how my levels work. I'm excited to go.
Better than being in another room and whispering.
Yes.
But no, it's good to be able to hear you loud and clear. And with myself and Gordo this week, we welcome back our guest, Joy Slenzak. How you doing, Joy?
Hey, guys. I'm doing all right.
Awesome. Good to hear it. So, as always, let's recap last week's show. A show that was hit by a few postponed fixtures in the United Kingdom. The football card was wiped due to the death of the Queen. As a mark of respect, when the head of state dies, our football card, no fixtures went ahead, professional or really amateur, last week. So, Joey, I know that affected you. It didn't affect me. I could lose games in other countries, but I know you
were hoping for non-runners in there. That's it. You just try to get four non-runners would have been a great result overall.
Non-runners would have helped me last week, but so I think we were knocked from 12 games down to 10. But let's have a look at how those 10 games got on. And my banker last week took the Yokohama F Marinos, who are top of the Japanese J League, for a win at home against the Vispa Fukuoka, and they obliged with a 1-0 win, an early 14th minute goal, and then just coasted that one out. So good banker
in for Andy. Jerv Mulder for me. Mulder conspired to make this game fucking a lot more difficult than it had to be. They were 2-0
hey,
up.
Hey. More interesting to the observer.
Much more interesting to the observer, but I was just wanting them to get, you know, sorted out for me. They went 2-0 up, brought it back to 2 each at 88th minute. Jerv got back into it. Mulder then went on to win 4-2. See, when you're getting those notifications and you get the next one after 3-2, you think they've panned me here. But no, they won 1-4, kind of a short banker, but never in doubt. Joey, what did you have?
Yeah, luckily I did not let the banker treble down this week because I had Chelsea versus Fulham and that got cancelled. So
non-runner?
One game I had to worry about losing.
Fine by us.
100% bankers, 2 out of 2 in the banker column, which is what we would expect and what we would hope for. So hopefully we get a full card this week and it'll be 3 out of 3, but job done all round. On to the value picks. And now, Gordon, you put the kiss of death on this last week by talking about how good a pick this was before I even announced what it was.
I also backed it on every single coupon I had last weekend, if that helps.
Brutal.
Every single one of them, because we were playing golf during the game actually taking place, and I didn't get the good notifications, only the bad ones.
Hanover versus Braunschweig in the German Bundesliga Zwei, who are all expecting a Hanover win, and it ended 1-1. Disappointing not to get that one in, because we all loved it.
It's a great. I would have had it as my value. I would have let down the value if you didn't, because I liked it as a pick anyway. So I wouldn't feel too aggrieved at that. You only ruined all of my coupons last weekend. That would have been ruined anyway by me doing it later on. So yeah, your value wasn't fantastic, but I didn't follow up much better. I had Marseille versus Lille, and I fancied Lille to get something out of this game, and they started it well. They went 1-0 up in the first half. I'm thinking, great, wee cushion there. Not going to do that. Marseille scored two goals before the halftime break, and it ended up 2-1 overall.
And it looked, taking the lead as well, I really thought you were onto something good here. When I got that notification, I was like, Gordon picked out a wee stormer here.
Yeah, and then I also backed Marseille tonight, because I was like, well, they can do enough to beat Lille, like, who are a fairly decent French team. And they went on to lose 1-0 to Frankfurt. So, again, I'm not even backing, they're not even a bogey team, because I don't have a preference about them. I just would like to see them do something.
It's Stoke. It's the Stoke effect. Just never back a game that Stoke are involved in.
And that's what I'm going to have to learn with Marseille. But no value for me. Joey, what's your value, a game that took place?
So my value actually did take place, which was nice in sentiment, but unfortunately we didn't get the result that we needed, because I had PSV hosting Valveig, and I liked both teams to score, and you can get that just shy of evens. I love that price, and it finished 1-0, and perhaps a fortunate 1-0, because that one goal came in the 95th minute, a Cody Gakpo penalty. But looking at the stats here, I knew PSV were going to concede chances, but what I was not anticipating, which I should have factored in, was Valveig just more or less sitting back for pretty much the entire game, only massing 30% possession. But with that 30% possession, they had 9 goal attempts and 3 of them were on target. So it was the shot conversion I was looking for. But unfortunately, yeah, they just kind of weren't able to fully capitalize on their chances. And it was a pretty cagey match. I was listening to it at work, and they were not giving up anything. I mean, it was, in hindsight, I probably should have looked at the under 3.5 market, thinking that they would have been a little bit more better defensively. And you could have actually gotten that basically at the same price. So hopefully we'll learn from that down the season. But we all know how I hate unders. So
you do hate unders.
That one with a spoonful of sugar.
Yes. Unfortunate there, Joey. But unfortunately, you couldn't get the Bremen-esque set of goals you were looking for like 2 weeks in a row.
That would have been incredible.
Yeah, unfortunate there, Joey, but not a bad pick.
Not a great result, really, for us in the value picks. Must do better this week. And moving on to recap the outsiders, my game is one of the ones that, if I was a weaker man, would put me off betting on anything ever again for the rest of my entire life. Like, people have deleted sportsbook accounts for less than this. Norgeland versus Midtjylland, the home win 2-1 for Norgeland. This looked a great bet, especially as they took the lead in the 15th minute. We're all over them for the entire game. I had I've just looked up some of the Twitter feed from the match, and one of the guys watching it, fucking hell, Midtjylland have been disgracefully bad this game. Complete lack of effort and desire, and beyond lucky to only be 1-0 down. It should be 5 or 6 to Norgeland. Midtjylland equalized with a 102nd minute penalty for handball that isn't even a deliberate handball. It's not even directly from a Midtjylland shot. It's a Midtjylland shot that has hit a Norgeland defender, bounced at right angles onto another one, basically at the edge of the box. It's nowhere even near the goal. And the ref points for a penalty in 90 plus 11, which they score. And I lose that bet. And we lose what would have been 100% on the outsiders as well, and would have been a very tasty return, because obviously I'd backed them all. 90 plus 11. That was brutal. Really, really brutal.
It was. And it highlights once again a subject that myself and Andy have brought up a few times, which is, do you have a personal luck rating? And if you do, how does it affect the rest of your picks? And well, Andy got a terrible one each goal. I got a spawny 1-0 win for my outsider. This was Regina away at Pisa. They did have more of the ball. They did play the better of the game, but Pisa had 2 goals chopped off. So one for an offside, and then one later on that isn't shown up in flash score, but I got a notification to say Pisa had scored. So I don't know if it was heavy thumbs from the guy at the game or something else going on, but there was a second notification that Pisa had scored. Regina won this game at 5-2, the price was, at kickoff. So, beautiful. As Andy said, it would have been tasty. much the same shot attempts and shots on goal, various different bits and possession. But Regina just, they wanted it more. And I got my luck. So 5-2, it came in. Andy was absolutely shafted by, if there's betting gods, I don't know what you did to them in a past life. But yes, so
I don't know what I've done. Sometimes I think that, like, I must have been up to some shady shit in my previous existence, man.
Shenaniganery. That's what you were up to. But yeah, so as Andy alluded to, Joey didn't have a pick in this thing. But Joey, what would have your pick have been? And we'll just pretend it would have won. So Joey, what was your pick?
Yeah, that's where I was trying to figure out where I kind of land on that luck scale. Perhaps a bit unlucky that it didn't go on, but definitely lucky I didn't have to worry about ruining that Trixie. But I had Brentford versus Southampton, Brentford traveling to Southampton, and I liked a Brentford win, and could have got that around 2-1.
Yeah.
And I was actually really upset that got canceled, because that could have been one of the more entertaining matches of the weekend.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a really high scoring affair.
Definitely. So I look forward to that game being replayed at some time in February, and you can come on and reback it at that point.
Yeah, or change your opinion on it. Yeah. Who knows? A lot can happen between now and then.
I don't think so, but only time will tell.
On to our charity picks. And I lost this really early on Friday evening when Bremen got beat by Augsburg with a 1-0 loss. Just disappointing. I did not have a good week, folks. My apologies for that.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't much better in the charity bet. First of all, I'd like to give a big congratulations to Racing Santander for getting not only their first two goals of the season, but also their first win of the season. So well done on beating Gijon. I'm not even getting them to pronounce Gijon correctly. I backed Gijon in this game, and they were fucking dreadful. I don't know how you concede two goals to a team who haven't scored and have lost all of their games so far, but they conspired to do so. A terrible result overall for the charity. And I mean, thankfully I'm putting it on this week anyway, the way it rotates, but yeah, that was an awful, like, just nothing went correctly for us in the charity slot. Well, for my charity slot anyway. Joey, how did yours fare?
Yeah, once again, charity was one of my better shining moments of the week. And again, I had Antwerp. I wasn't taking them on the double chance. I was taking them to win this time. You could have gotten that around 2.2-ish if you kind of placed your bets around, I think, what was it, Thursday-ish till maybe late Friday. But then it actually started drifting out towards 2.4, 2.45. I don't think it got quite as high as 2.5, but seeing it get up to 2.4, I thought something was a little fishy. But once they ended up kicking the ball, Vincent Janssen, he kind of did his thing, deputizing for my boy Michael Frey. And he opened the scoring in the 6th minute, and they did not look back. This was exactly kind of how I was expecting it to go. Not in the sense that they would score so early, but Cercle would kind of try and bang on that door. But that Antwerp defense is just far too good for them. And looking at the stats, they had slightly better shot conversion this time. 13 attempts and 6 on target, but that was not even remotely enough to break down the Antwerp defenses. And Toby Alderweireld,
oh,
little Premier League friend of ours, he ended up doubling the lead in the 68th minute. Fortunately, it wasn't a minute later, but we'll excuse him for that. And then, yeah, they ended up to win 2-0. And yeah, nice and easy.
Nice one, Joey. Let's hope you can keep that up next week, and Gordon and I can up our game, and maybe we'll get a charity bet in. That was the recap from last week. We'll be back momentarily with the picks for the weekend of Saturday, the 17th of September. If you're a member of the Trampled Bet Club on Patreon, it's £6 a month, www.patreon.com/trampledbet, or just download the Patreon app and give a search for Trampled Bet. You can join us there and you get access to this podcast as a video file, where we have the additional middle section where we talk about picks from other sports, or perhaps picks that we like but didn't make the main picks of the show. So for everyone else, we shall see you after the break. For patrons, we'll see you in the middle section. Catch you soon.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, September 17th, 2022. The usual spiel from all of us, a banker bet, a value bet, an outsider bet, and then we each throw a charity selection into the hat for a treble, and all the proceeds from £10 of our own money on that charity treble go to a charity of our choosing, should the bet come in, which we'll announce on next week's show. So, gentlemen, the one bit of the show last week that was good was a clean sweep of the bankers, so let's keep that rolling. My banker is Sunday at 6 a.m. in the Japanese top flight, so the J1 League for Yokohama F Marinos versus Sapporo. And I'm going to take top of the league Yokohama to be 11th place Sapporo here at home. And that's because Yokohama are absolutely solid in front of their own fans. They lead the league in the home performance table, 35 points gained from 13 matches. So that's an incredibly good record. Sapporo are the third worst travelling team in the league. They've only managed 13 points from 14 away games. So to go away to Yokohama and try and get anything will be, it's just not a situation they want to be in. The Japanese table is pretty tight now at the top. Kawasaki have won some games in hand, so Yokohama are now just 3 points ahead of Kawasaki Frontale, with both teams having played 27 matches. So these games against low-level opposition when they're the home team are absolute must-wins for Yokohama, and I think they'll do it. I mean, they've won basically all their games at home this season, so it's a great spot to back the F Marinos. And the home win is 1-2, which I imagine will come down.
That's a big price, that.
Yeah, I imagine this will come down closer to the time once people have a wee look at it. Hey, this will come down even better if more UK games are postponed this weekend and British punters are looking in other leagues. So yeah, get on it soon. Yokohama F Marinos to beat Sapporo at 1-2.
Nice one. I'll take us to Norway for my pick in my banker slot. Staying in the Nordics at the moment for my bankers. They've been okay thus far. This game that I fancy is Vålerenga to beat Sandefjord. And you'll get Vålerenga at 1-4. So again, pretty short prices in here. Vålerenga have been great in their last five games. Won five home games on the spin. 3-1, 1-0, 4-0, 4-2, 3-0. They're not exactly sneaking some of them. They're doing some damage out there. Sandefjord have been awful away from home. Only taking a 1-2-1 win against last week's Jerv, who had backed against, who are bottom of the table. They've taken doings from quite a lot of the teams that Vålerenga have beat already. Vålerenga historically do well in this fixture. They're in the same division and have been for a wee while. When they play Sandefjord at home, they've won the last three on the spin. This is why they're 1-4. There's hardly anything to say about this. I really was trying to stay away from teams that are playing in Europe this week because I feel like I keep tripping up over that. So avoiding Vålerenga uninvolved in any, until they bring out the Europa Conference League, I think Vålerenga are safe from European competition. So yeah, Vålerenga home to Sandefjord, 1-4. Very short.
Obviously, Gordo, you and I, based in Glasgow, we know that there are a lot of listeners to our podcast, also based in Glasgow. Sandefjord being the sexual health clinic of Scotland's largest city.
Is it? I did not know. Look how lame I am.
How do you not know that?
Because I have moved to Glasgow, I'll have you know. I'll tell you where it was in Irvine. Yeah. Vålerenga versus the clinic, 1-4.
Joey.
So for my banker this week, I'm going to take it home. And we're in the MLS on Sunday at 2:30 a.m. your time. This is a nice, comfortable, dare I say, a proper traditional 9 p.m. kickoff for the late games. But I've got Austin FC hosting Nashville FC. And I like taking Nashville on the double chance, and you can get that around 2 to 3. So Austin sit in second place in the Western Conference on 51 points, scoring 60 goals and conceding 45, while Nashville are hot on their tails in fourth place on 46 points, scoring 48 and conceding 35. And looking at the form table, Nashville sit atop of the five-game form table, with only a 1-1 draw being the blemish during that stretch, picking up 4 wins and only 1 draw. And if you look at the 10 and 15 game form table, they're still above Austin the entire time, because Austin's really kind of come off the boil a bit. They've only won once in their last 5 matches, and they've only had 3 wins in their last 10. Nashville have admittedly had a couple tough losses during this 15 match stretch. But they still have the second best away record in the conference, and they've only lost once in their last 8 away matches. Austin, on the other hand, have picked up only 2 home wins in their last 10 matches, or 3 home wins in their last 10 matches, conceding 23 goals during that stretch. And so Nashville historically have picked up 2 wins in their only 2 attempts against Austin FC. But the key here for me, besides Austin's poor recent form and the fact that they'll also have to play at the midweek to make up one of their games, whereas Nashville does not have to, is how this playoff picture kind of works into all of this. So Nashville currently sit ahead of 4 teams that are kind of in or around the playoff spots. I think that last team is just outside the playoff spot. And all of those teams have games in hand on Nashville. So if you look at, assuming we're going to give them all wins, that actually puts Nashville only 1 point outside the drop spot, missing out on the playoffs. And so with Austin FC mathematically securing their playoff football already, this isn't necessarily a must win for Nashville because they have better fixtures coming up in their final 3 matches, but this is certainly a cannot lose spot. And so I think getting 2 to 3 on that is a great price.
It's bold. It's bold for a banker, and away from home, double chance, huge odds for banker odds at 2 to 3, but I like your reasoning. Yeah, I just typed Austin v Nashville into Google there, and if you do this for any other match in the whole world, the top result will be the upcoming football game. No, you need to scroll down to like the 9th one before you get any mention of football. It's should I move to Austin or Nashville? Which city has the better music? It just shows
it's
you.
It's kind of hot topic.
Football, yeah. Football in really the States is maybe football in the States maybe not as popular, but it's getting there. Hey, but as a result, Joey, having you on means we can find some spicy odds, and hopefully we've got them there for your banker bet. So if you wanted to take the 3 bankers as a treble, that's the Yokohama F Marinos, Valoranga, and a draw or Nashville SC, 2.12 to 1, which is pretty good for bankers to get the treble in over 2 to 1. Moving on to the value picks, where we look for some value across the books, typically around, that's the sort of go-to mark where we think there's a particular value in backing one of the sides or a particular result. And I am back in Japan again, this time a day earlier, Saturday, at a good traditional Japanese kickoff time of 11 a.m. UK time. So you can watch this one. You can watch all the Japanese games, J-League games on Bet365 live stream. For Kashiwa versus Kawasaki Frontale, the away win for Kawasaki is 7-10. Kashiwa are slumping. They're still 6th in this league, but they've only taken 2 points from their last 5 matches, scoring 9 times, which seems good, but conceding a massive 16 goals. So over 3 goals a game on average they're conceding. Kawasaki currently top of the 5-game form table, 12 points from the last 5 matches, scoring 15 and conceding only 4. So this is a great matchup from that point of view. Head-to-head-wise, Kawasaki routinely have the beating of Kashiwa. They're unbeaten in their last eight meetings of the sides dating back to 2017, with six wins for Kawasaki, and the teams have drawn twice. So the mismatch in form, the importance of this game for Kawasaki, I mentioned in my banker pick of Yokohama, that Kawasaki are only 3 points behind them now. So they really need wins to keep up with Yokohama, especially as the F Marinos have a reasonably easy home tie against Sapporo this week. So they'll be desperate to win this. There's a mismatch in form. There's a mismatch in head-to-head history, especially in recent years. It's an appealing bet on the away win. It's 7-10.
Nice one. A little bit of reversing in value or value fixtures from last week, where I was picking one that was under even money. And this time I'm going to go over even money with this. So the pick I like is Regina at home to Cittadella. And I like last week's outsiders, Regina, to beat Cittadella at 6-5. Regina, again, started the season fantastically. From their five games, they've got 12 points. Cittadella haven't been too bad either. From their five games, they've got 8 points. But what's setting Regina apart from the rest of the league is the fact they've only conceded two goals in doing so, and they haven't conceded in the last 3 weeks. Regina's strike force is relatively interesting. Does anyone remember Jeremy Menez? He used to play with Roma, PSG. He played like 30 or 40 games for them a season. He was around at the same time as PSG had got all their money, as opposed to, prior to that. But he's 35 now, and he's still packing them in for Regina. He scored last week, and he scored 2 weeks before that. So they've got a kind of aging gem in their hands there. Cittadella, you know, they're another team that's been around the Sierra B for years. These teams play. Regina are coming out this season much better than they ever have before. Cittadella, when they've played this fixture before, have generally drawn or beat Regina. It was the same with Pisa last week, and we backed Regina to win, and they did it properly. So I expect them to go and do so again comfortably this week. The bookies haven't cottoned on to the fact that they're a force this year. They're just pricing it because they would historically have got beaten in this fixture. 6-5 or 13-10, you can get this at various different bookies. Regina at home, I just think they're going to do the business this season. Joey, what do you have in the value area?
Yeah, so for my value this week, I'm going to bring it back to the Bundesliga. And again, I'm backing Werder Bremen, this time away from home, at Leverkusen, who, unfortunately for me, picked up a 2-0 win against Atletico to kill my parlay that I had on. But I'll kind of bury that.
You'll move on from there. I like it, Joey.
Into the write-up. So that's going to be at Saturday at 2:30 p.m. And I actually like Werder Bremen, not necessarily on the double chance, but we're going to buy ourselves a quarter goal. And I like taking Werder Bremen on the plus 0.075 Asian handicap. And you can get that around even money. And basically the way that works, I know I'm kind of getting a little too cute with that, but you're essentially putting two bets, one on the double chance and then one on the plus one. And the reason why I went for that over the double chance. And if your books don't have that, or you just don't give a shit about Asian handicaps, taking the double chance is more than certain. I really love that as well. You can get that at slightly higher odds. But the reason why I wanted to buy that extra quarter goal is potentially for the push. If by some chance that Leverkusen win this by one goal. But so right now, getting into the write up for it, the research, we've got Bremen in ninth place on 8 points, scoring 12 goals, conceding 11. And they're traveling to Leverkusen, who are in 17th place. And they've only picked up 4 points in their six matches so far, scoring 8 goals and conceding 11. And looking at the home and away splits, Leverkusen have only won once in their last five at home. And that was against third-tier Duisburg in a friendly where they won 6-1. So granted, I'm not going to factor that into anything. That's irrelevant. That's a third-tier team. But Bremen have actually not lost in five straightaway matches, and they've picked up 4 wins in their 7 away matches so far this season. And historically, Werder Bremen have actually had fairly good success against Leverkusen back when they were in the Bundesliga 2 seasons ago, because they dropped down and then came right back up. But they've only lost once in their last 9 trips to Leverkusen, and have only lost twice in the last 8 meetings in all locations. And that's dating back to 2018. So that's 3 years from basically 2018 till 20, 21. And so I kind of touched on it in my argument and my frustrations for the UCL matches. Leverkusen had that match against Atletico today, recording on Tuesday. And that's a stingy Atletico side. They didn't end up breaking through until, I think, the 85th minute. Definitely the final 10 minutes of the match. And so I think this is a good spot for Werder Bremen to continue this fantastic start to the season. And one fun fact I'll leave you with is that Leverkusen have only led for 120 minutes of their 540 minutes played so far this season. Mm. And they've only had a 2-goal lead once in their last 10 matches this season. So I'm fully expecting this. Given the way that Bremen play, they're going to go at them. And one line that I'll throw in there, a little bit of extra spice, I kind of really liked the first half goal for Werder Bremen. I think they could get off to a really good, really fast start, and Leverkusen could kind of be a little slow out of the gates. And you can get that at 2 points, just over even money, basically. And I was kind of looking at that as my value shot because I wanted to keep this one in the value slot. But instead, I tried to get cute and went for the plus 0.75.
The DC in here, I'm going to take it as a double chance, but
it's essentially the double chance, but just with a little added security. And given that it's around even money, you'd still essentially make your, well, you wouldn't make your money back if it pushes, but I fully expect Werder Bremen to really.
Let's see if Werder Bremen just go out and win 3-0. That would sort us out here.
And as we've seen so far this season, they're not giving up until the 90th minute. So hopefully we can get some late goals for a little added insurance. Not to save the double chance, but to get a little 2-goal cushion or take a lead.
I hope you have better luck backing Bremen than I did last week, Joey, when they lost at home 1-0 to Augsburg, and not a good Augsburg. Bad result for them last week. Fingers crossed, and we do have the security of a double chance if you want to take it that way rather than the Asian handicap. I'll probably do that just so that I can put the value treble on nice and easily. So that would be Kawasaki Frontale, Regina, and draw, or Werder Bremen. 7.22-1 if you fancy all three of the selections. Moving on to the outsider now, and after the heartache of last week's 102nd minute penalty equalizer from my outsider, I'm looking to bounce back. I'm staying in Japan. It's a league I know well. Sunday at 11 a.m. in the top flight for Vissel Kobe versus Gamba Osaka. And Kobe are in serious danger of being relegated. Vissel Kobe spent a lot of money, have Anderson Iniesta in their books. They're 17th in an 18 team league, and they've got 25 points from 27 games. They've managed 4 points from the last 5 matches, but concerningly, they've only scored twice across those 5 fixtures. They're not in a good way, and they're in serious trouble. Gamba Osaka are down the bottom of the table as well, but they are 4 points ahead of Kobe on 29 points, and their form is also better. 7 points from their last 5 matches. Where I really like this bet is the fact that Kobe are terrible at home. They're the worst team in the entire league. They've got 12 points from all their home games this season, so that was 12 home games and only 12 points. And Osaka are all right on the road, 15 points from 14 away games, so averaging just over a point. Obviously, you would normally expect the most of your points would come at home. Not the case for Kobe. So I see this match very much as a coin flip. It's a big game for both clubs. It's a typical relegation 6-pointer here. But you'll get Gamba Osaka, the team in the better form, at odds of almost 3-1. So you'll get 11-4 for them at 3.65 just now. And that's just too big for me to turn down. So for the outsider, I'll take Gamba Osaka away at Vissel Kobe at odds of 11-4.
Nice one. Incidentally, in my outsider this week, I would love a 102nd minute equaliser because I'm taking a draw between Häcken and Hammarby. So this is the Allsvenskan, the top Swedish league, and two teams duking it out towards the top of the league as well. So Häcken on after 22 games on 46 points and Hammarby on 41 points, only 4 behind. Djurgården are sandwiched in between them on 45 there. This game for me is quite interesting because Häcken have drawn their last two against not good opposition despite being top of the league. They've drawn against Kalmar and Degerfors, who featured very heavily a couple of years ago when they were getting promoted into this league. The same can be said for Hammarby. They drew 0-0 with Djurgården, which is fine. Djurgården are playing in the Europa Conference League, but they are above them in the league. But they lost to Norrköping 4-1. Which really isn't that great a result considering Norrköping are 12th out of a 16-team league. So I really like this game as a draw because both teams have kind of had a wee bit of a slide. However, they play each other every year because they've been in the league for donkeys, right? And 5 out of the last 6 meetings of these teams have been draws. 5 out of the last 6. They play twice a year and they just seem to show up, agree, shake hands and fuck off home. Like, I'm really hopeful they'll do that again this season. It doesn't even really matter where they're playing. Like, it's either ground. So yeah, the last couple of games have been 2-2. My one misnomer in there, which is the one out of the 6 that wasn't, which was a 4-0 thumping of Häcken at Hammarby, but 1-1, a 0-0 draw, a 1-1 draw, another 1-1 draw in there. They seem to draw this game quite a lot. I don't think either team would see it as too bad a result to be drawing this game. They're both towards the top of the league. Djurgården will start to drop points, in my opinion, now, because they've got to play in the Conference League at the moment. They're playing a lot of midweek games and they should be less of a worry. So you can get the draw here at 5-2, and I suggest you take it. I look forward to it being a draw. Joey, what do you have outsider-wise?
Yeah, so for my outsider this week, I'm back in Germany, and I like a Freiburg win. Another away team, this time away to Hoffenheim. And you can get that Freiburg win at 2.1, or 2-1. That's going to be kicking off Sunday at 6:30 p.m. And so Hoffenheim sit fourth place on 12 points, scoring 12 goals and only conceding 7. And Freiburg sits second place on 13 points, just one ahead, scoring 10 and conceding 5. And so looking at the home versus away splits, we actually have the best home team squaring off against the best away team. Mm-hmm. And so Hoffenheim have actually won 6 straight matches at home, but Freiburg have also won 5 of their last 6 away matches and have only lost once in their last 14 away matches, with 8 of those being wins. And historically, Freiburg have won this matchup in 4 straight trips to Hoffenheim, scoring 3-plus goals in all 4 of those. And so the interesting part about this matchup is that these clubs both have a couple teams that they've played similarly, that they've both played against each other. And so both of them got wins against Leverkusen and Bochum. We touched on that before. Leverkusen really aren't good this season. But they both lost to Dortmund, which I guess will happen. And the key here being, if you look at those wins for Hoffenheim at home, that 4-1 win against Mainz, which is a really good win on paper, that was helped by a 41st minute red card for Mainz, in which they still conceded a goal to 10 men Mainz. That 1-0 win against Augsburg, Augsburg are definitely going to set up defensively, but that's still, with a team like Hoffenheim, you'd expect a little more firepower. But then perhaps the cherry on top, and I really love this, their 3-2 win against Bochum was actually paid out for Bochum within the first 13 minutes, if you took it at Bet365. They went up 2-0 and then obviously conceded 2 more goals before halftime because they're VfL Bochum, and they'll probably do that a lot this season. But they didn't actually get their winner to go 3-2 until the 88th minute. Granted, they had a penalty chopped off kind of the middle of the second half. But I think if Freiburg kind of set up, they can really catch Hoffenheim on the counter and kind of add to that great form that they have playing away from home against Hoffenheim. And there's actually been over 3.5 in 4 of the last 5 meetings at Hoffenheim. So I think you can kind of understand why I was looking at this game. And so I think Freiburg should have enough to sort of give Hoffenheim that first big test of the season. And I know they're playing away midweek to Olympiacos, which is probably why I shouldn't have brought this to the show. But I think the way that Olympiacos have been playing lately, I mean, they're really not setting the world on fire. And they're actually really struggling in their own league. So I don't think that's really going to be too much of an issue. And some of the additions that Freiburg have actually made this season, specifically Ritsu Doan from PSV, they've been slotting in immediately and have really been helping with that goal output. So if this does become a shootout, I think Freiburg definitely still have the firepower to keep up.
Yeah, man. Cool beans.
Three decent priced riders there. So Gambo Zaka away at Vissel Kobe. A draw between BK Hacken and Hammerby. And then SC Freiburg win away at TSG Hoffenheim. If you were mad enough to try and put them all in a treble, you'd get 30.68 to 1. So essentially 40 to 1. I'll probably take a little tricksy on the three of them. So I only need two of the three to come in for some profitable returns. But we've been doing well at the outsiders. It's usually one of the better sections. So fingers crossed for another good week. Okay, gents, on to the charity treble. Let's get one in this week. And I realize, after having said that, I am now going to go to one of the most unreliable football teams in the world.
Patrons will be able to see my distaste to what Andy's about to say.
Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Japanese J1 League. Gordon, who am I going to be back in?
You'll be back in the fucking Rua Red Diamonds. I can feel that already.
Tell you who've been great recently.
Is it them, man?
The Rua Red Diamonds. Okay, right. They've not hit title contention heights that I had hoped that they would at the beginning of the season, but their current form is good. 10 points from their last five games, and they're away from home at Shonan Bellmare, and Shonan are struggling a bit at the minute with 5 points from their last five matches. Urawa are now unbeaten in their last seven games across all competitions, and they are scoring plenty of goals. 27 goals scored across those seven games. Whereas Shonan have only won once across their last eight fixtures. So you match up an Urawa, who are unbeaten in seven games, against Shonan, who have only won once in their last eight. I think most people are going to come down on the side of the Urawa Red Diamonds, and they're better than even money. And I just, for all their volatility and the fact you just can't trust them, better than evens is just good, no matter how unreliable they are. So Saturday 11 a.m. It may be the worst way to start the charity bet, but I'm doing it. Urawa Red Diamonds 13 to 10.
Just an awful, awful choice of team. It's like me getting in and backing Morton or something right now, or Mars. Like, yeah, it's like me coming to the charity bet with like, I know I haven't been able to back a Marseille winner recently, but I now really fancy them, whoever they're playing at the weekend, Lyon away or whatever. So we'll see what happens with Andy's pick there. I'm going to go to something a lot more surefire.
13 to 10, Gordon. 13 to 10.
You can be at whatever price it wants, son. It has to come in.
What odds would they have to be for you to be interested in taking them as a single? Away at Shonan, bearing in mind
about five to one.
You wouldn't take them if they were 2 to 1.
Would you take Stoke at any point?
They won 3-0 away at Hull tonight. So, yeah, you know, if the price was right, yeah, I would.
I think just with hoodoos, I would avoid them. However, if you think there's a good spot to take them, I'm more than happy to come back and we can discuss this with Joey next week. I'm in French League 2 for my charity pick, a lot more surefire than Andy's. It's a 4-7 shot. This is Sochaux at home to Nîmes. Sochaux have started the last five games fantastically, winning all five. They beat Dijon, Laval, Guingamp, Niort and Pau in there. Nîmes' away form has been rubbish. They in their last five away games have only taken 1 point. That was a draw with Saint-Étienne in there. Sochaux are good this season, and they have been good. Overall, they're top of the league, taking 16 points from their eight games. Nîmes are in 14th with 8 points from their eight games. I think Sochaux have enough to really see this game out. Their comfortable crushing of Laval last week, 4-1, has made it even more, for me, a surefire pick. They just seem to be scoring goals and they're having a lot of fun at the moment. I'd love to see that continue. And at 4-7, 6-11, 3-5, depending on which bookie you take it at, you know, it's not a pick that has much contention to it, really. They should be winning this game if they're priced about that. So show at home to Reims. This isn't even going to matter after that fucking Euro game, is it? This is just I could say anything at this point.
I mean, you could say anything, but you know it will go down forever on record. You have a charity pick that is lower odds than Joey's fucking banker. So you know you could just go and sit in the corner, you shite bag.
Fair enough. Joey, what do you have? Are you taking it? Let's see if you can win. It's 1-6.
Yeah, so in a little bit of a throwback, I've gone with over 0.5 goal kicks in the Manchester City versus Wolves match. Yeah. You can get that around 1 to 1,000.
Yeah. Get that locked in.
For my charity pick, I'm going back to perhaps what is going to be one of my favorite leagues this season. I'm hoping, fingers crossed. And I'm back in Belgium. This time it's not Antwerp in the charity slot at 1-3. I didn't think there was quite as much value in that. I think they'll definitely win the match, and I'm not going to shame. This is my shameless plug of Antwerp because they are just phenomenal, and they are going to be one of the teams to watch in Europe this season. But enough about that phenomenal team. And I'm going to talk to about a couple other high scoring teams that I like because, as we know, I like goals, and so. This for this offering for the charity section, I have Charleroi hosting Westerlo, and I like both teams to score an over 2.5 tacked on there. And you can get that at even money. And I thought that was phenomenal value. So I decided to throw it in the charity slot. And so that match is kicking off on Saturday at 7:45 p.m. And Charleroi sit 8th place on 12 points, scoring 13 goals and conceding 13 goals. And Westerlo sit 12th place on 9 points, scoring 13 goals and conceding 16 goals. And so while Charleroi have seen the majority of their goals this season, scoring 7 and conceding 8 in only 4 matches, Westerlo have also scored 5 goals away from home and conceded 12 in their 4-way matches. And the 5-game form table actually sees Charleroi scoring 9 goals and conceding 8. And Westerlo have scored 10 goals and conceded 12 in the past 5 games. And notice how I didn't mention any points there because I don't care who wins this match. I just want goals. And so the reason why I was looking at this match specifically, and I really love this for both teams scoring over 2.5, because Charleroi have actually seen both teams score an over 2.5 in 9 straight home matches this season. And Westerlo have seen it in 4 of their last 6 away matches. And I could have very easily just said, okay, both teams to score, easy peasy, get it done and dusted. But given the recent signings that Westerlo have made, specifically Nasser Shadley, and the way that Charleroi have lost 1-3 in 2 of their 4 home matches this season in the league, and have seen over 3.5 goals in 3 of their 4 home matches, I don't think they're really setting up. They're really going for it, and that could play right into Westerlo's hand. Ultimately, I think if this does not hit, it'll probably be a 1-1 draw. But ultimately, I like Westerlo to go on and get that second goal, and even Charleroi could. I think both teams are more than capable, but Westerlo being the away team and being 2-1 outsiders, I think the fact that I feel pretty comfortable in them getting 2 goals just more than certainly kind of hopefully we'll get this over the edge. I mean, looking at, I kind of listened to some of that match against Anderlecht last away match for Westerlo. And they ended up winning 2-1. It was, they got a quick goal in the first half and then kind of set up, but still allowed chances. So I think this could work conversely, where if Charleroi get a quick goal, Westerlo will have more than enough firepower to really lay it on. And either team could get caught out on the break. And I hopefully end up getting over 3.5 goals in this one.
Six each is what we're looking for here.
So I think this is a good spot for that.
Nice one, Joey.
Okay, so the charity treble works out at the Urawa Red Diamonds to beat Sean in Belmare. So Show to beat Nimes and over 2.5 goals and both teams to score in the Charleroi versus Westerlo game. Combines to 6.07-1. So hopefully 70 quid winging its way to a charity next week. Fingers crossed we've got something good to announce for the charity treble on next week's show. Thanks for listening, everyone. We do have a Facebook group. Please do join us there. Just search Trampled Bet Podcast on Facebook and ask to join the group. There's some really good stuff in there. Dave Greenfield, regular co-host on the show, he always puts up his English football lower league shouts. So there was an ACCA in there today. Michael Stokes, big on his rugby. There's a new season in the Northern Hemisphere, and he'll be following that very closely with selections every week. And Michael's been just incredibly good at putting successful rugby tips into that group. So even if rugby's not your thing, just blindly follow what he does. It will work out well for you.
It's the best thing you can do is open a new account at a bookie you've never used before. Take their 20 quid free and just follow Michael for a whole season. Just put half the stake on at the end of the year. Send them 20 quid. Send them something, because he just knows. I have, as Andy said, blind faith in his picks. So yeah, it's great contributions to the group, Mike.
Yeah, so join us on Facebook. If you fancy giving something back to the show, join us on Patreon. So download the Patreon app, search for Trampled Bet Podcast. £6 a month to be a member of the Trampled Bet Club. Gives us something back, helps support the show. And you get the middle section of the podcast. You also get all the picks written down each week in a handy cheat sheet format, and also access to all the extra content podcasts that we do when there's a big event in horse racing or golf or darts or something similar that we're also interested in. Gordon, Joey, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure as always. Hopefully we are recapping a very successful week this time next week. Thank you to everyone for listening. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet Podcast is produced by Andy Bond, Gordon McLarnon and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.